Episode number 114 of the Mojo for Running podcast is about destination races. Welcome to the Mojo for Running podcast. I'm the coach, Debbie Voiles, and this is the podcast for middle-of-the-packers, regular people not afraid to work up a sweat, who embrace the outdoors and that wonderful feeling of endorphins surging through their veins. My goal is to provide the information you need to achieve your goals. Let's talk about destination races. Of all the great benefits of being in a running club, the organized trips to distant races may be the most fun of all. Everyone is an adventure and everyone different from every other one because you have different people that go on each trip. Each one brings different stories, different backgrounds. It's just amazing. There's nothing like traveling with a group of great friends to experience a race. Every element is exponentially more fun because the experience is magnified tenfold by the fact that you're sharing it with friends. I hope if you're a member of a running club, that after listening to this podcast and the next one, you'll be motivated to go and sign up for the next trip. And if you're not a member of a running club, I hope you'll join one in your city and join them when they go on their next destination race. And if you can't find a running club, or like me, happened with me 6 years ago, you can't find a club that's fun enough for you, you'll start your own and then start planning that first destination race. Believe me, you can start with six people and it'll grow. If you have fun, other people will be attracted and pretty soon you'll have 12 and pretty soon you'll have 50. It happens. That's exactly how it happens. Just do it and have fun. This episode is sponsored by one of my favorite races, the St. Pete Beach Classic. I look forward to doing it every year. As soon as I learn the date, I block it out on the calendar because I know that's where I'll be. It's actually a whole weekend of racing and fun, the St. Pete Beach Classic weekend. Now, why would I want to tell you, my listeners, who hail from 162 countries about a local race? Because this weekend of races would make a great vacation for any runner and the perfect destination race for the whole family. There are actually four races, a 5K, a 10K, a 3.8-mile beach fun run, and a half marathon. You can do any single race or both the 5K and 10K. That's called the Classic Duo. Or register for the Classic Individual Marathon, which means you do all four events, which just happen to add up to 26.2 miles. It's a really fun way to do a marathon. And I think it's an especially good way to do a marathon when you want to do your first one. I mean, if you're getting ready for your first real marathon, wouldn't this be a good thing to do a good training weekend for you? Since there are kids' races as well, there's something for everybody. If you've never been to the paradise that is St. Pete Beach, Florida, you are in for a huge treat. I do this race every year, and my local Run Tampa group always makes it a club event. Of course, I'll link to the race website in the show notes, and I hope I'll see you there. Our club has traveled to Jacksonville, Napa, Marine Corps Marathon, Chicago, Maine, San Francisco, Grandma's Marathon in Duluth, and this weekend, the day before yesterday, we did the Revel Big Cottonwood Marathon and half in Utah. We've had as many as 60 of our club members make the trip, and I just can't wait for the next one. I know some of you are saying, yes, that sounds great, but I don't have a club. I would just say, first of all, check out the existing clubs in your city. There are usually several in any city of much size. But if you can't find a running club that's a good fit, no problem. Like I said before, start your own. Seriously, that's what I did. None of the clubs in my city were doing what I wanted. They didn't have the right atmosphere, the right vibe. They weren't inclusive enough of people of all different ages, speeds, etc. That's what I've got now, but I had to start it myself. Really, it's been an amazing, thrilling ride. I would never change even one day of that. And now we have a whole team on board. The team actually manages everything now. And they do a fantastic job. And our club is just, I can't say enough good things. You can have that kind of a club, but you might have to start it yourself. Do it. It's worth it. I was looking for a running group to run with every weekend, but I wanted to run at a different location every week. And I wanted most of those runs to be trail runs, or at least to have a trail option at each location. I wanted the runs to be completely unstructured and appropriate for all levels. And I wanted the group to be very diverse. None of the clubs in my area were offering that kind of experience. So I started organizing group runs myself. We had 12 people at the first run, and the numbers grew every week. After a year, we had really grown to a group of about, I think we had about 100. But at any given run, we generally have 25 in attendance. At the time, I was encouraging all of them to join another club to have the opportunity to join in their social events. But the few people who came back to me and said it wasn't, in other words, the few people who went to those other get-togethers and came back to me, all said that it wasn't as friendly as our group. I could never get them to embrace the other clubs. So eventually I caved and made our group an official club for two reasons. One, because I wanted to organize regular club socials. And two, I wanted to start planning destination races. And I knew I didn't want to be planning destination races for people that I didn't know well. And until that time, I hadn't even collected names and addresses. Well, I knew everybody's name, of course, but I didn't know their addresses or phone numbers. So I really felt like I didn't know enough about people to be planning on traveling with them. So Run Tampa, the club, was born, and I started planning our first destination race. In the beginning, since I was doing all the organizing myself, hosting the weekend runs, selling club shirts that I carried all the time in the back of my car, and visors, planning the socials, doing the newsletters, maintaining the website and Facebook group, and managing membership, I wasn't in a position to plan the details of the trip, like arranging for group travel and staying in the same hotel, arranging for a hotel to stay in, planning the meals together, etc. Sometimes I did plan the post-race meal, and sometimes others would help me do that. But I really couldn't put together the kind of travel event that I wanted to because it was just not possible. So in the first couple of years, everybody was on their own to plan their flight, hotel, and most of the meals, except that, like I said, I would organize either a pre-race or a post-race dinner. And sometimes other club members took on that task. Back then, we usually had around 40 that made the trip. Everything changed when I brought on that whole, what I call the leadership team. After 3 years of trying to grow Run Tampa, I finally came to the realization that I couldn't continue to lead the club and still manage to find enough time for this podcast and my online coaching program. Until that time, Run Tampa had been a business, and the club was a part of that business. So I decided to make the club a C Corp and bring on a board to run it. I've always referred to the board as the leadership team, though, as it is much more appropriate, I think. The board is an amazing, cohesive, effective group, each with unique individual skills that all mesh well together. And honestly, we love each other. This has led to continued club growth. We're at about 480 members now, but it also means that our destination races now are completely planned, from group air flights to everyone staying in the same hotels and planned group meals, plus a dinner celebration on the evening of race day. I have the team to thank for that. I could never have done those things myself. I dreamed of it. I imagined what it would be like, but I just couldn't do it. Thankfully, the team makes it all happen, and specifically our event coordinator, the amazing Dave Yancey. So our destination races just keep getting better. If you are looking for a destination race, whether for yourself or for a group or club, here are some things you want to take into account. I know a lot of clubs do go on destination races, but I imagine some don't. However, I hope that after listening to this podcast, any club, however small, that doesn't go to destination races will decide to do so. First and foremost, you need to choose a race that will suit the needs of your group. We usually have our members nominate possible race candidates, and then we select from one of the finalists. We don't always do it that way, though. It just depends. It changes from year to year and race to race. Our goal is to find a race that we think will make the most club members happy. Here are some other considerations in selecting a destination race. 1. Hotels. Will you be able to find a hotel that most of your members will like? Will it have reasonably priced rooms? What's its proximity to the start and finish lines? Will they provide breakfast to your runners extra early, like at 5 o'clock? At least will they have coffee and bagels and bananas or something? Many, many hotels do offer free breakfast, as I'm sure you know. But many don't offer it early enough for people getting up for an early race. I can't tell you how many times I've stayed even at a race hotel, host hotel, or at a hotel that's filled with people that are there to do a race, and we know we have to leave for the starting line at like 6 a.m. And when I check with the hotel staff the night before, they say, yep, we give you a free breakfast. It starts at 6. And I say, no, well, we're going to be gone by then. And they just kind of look at me like, oh, well, too bad. And I just, that makes me crazy because the hotel is full of people who need an earlier breakfast. Sometimes the hotels are wonderful, but sometimes they're not. Number 2, unless your hotel, the one you're considering staying in, is right at the start and finish lines, find out if the hotel will provide a shuttle to get you to the race and back. When we did Grandma's Marathon in June, I was super impressed that the race itself had buses collecting runners from many, many different hotels, even the one where we stayed, and we stayed across the bridge from Duluth in Superior, Wisconsin. But yet we had a bus transportation. A couple different buses came and picked up people from our hotel. Only 1 month before that, I did a smaller race and they didn't have enough buses, meaning we had to wait too long for a bus to get us up to the start. So we ended up getting to the start just a few minutes before the race started, meaning no time to warm up or get through the porta potty line. That's a big problem because if you've been on a bus for a half hour, you need to warm up, and you very likely need a restroom. All these things matter, and races with good reputations are the ones that get this right. Number 3, restaurant options. Are there a variety of restaurants within a mile or so of where you'll be staying, from fancy and extravagant to smaller mom-and-pop shops with great inexpensive options and casual atmosphere? Runners don't tend to want to dress up, so be sure there are plenty of reasonably priced restaurants where they can go in flip-flops and running clothes. Number 4, entertainment. Here, I mean, are there plenty of places for you to do a bit of sightseeing and enjoy the local culture? Number 5, big airport. Is there an airport within a reasonable distance, at least within half a day of your race? And hope not half a day, I mean half an hour. Probably half an hour is, I think, reasonable. Obviously, if the race is a big enough deal and important enough to you, then you might be willing to drive an hour and a half or 2 hours. We did that when we flew into Minneapolis, because we rented vans and actually drove into Duluth. And we wanted to do that race bad enough, and plenty of people want to do that race bad enough that that's not an issue. But it's always nice when you're deciding on whether a particular race is a good choice for your club. You look at everything, weigh the pros, weigh the cons, and you pick the ones that, like I said, you think are going to be the most, the greatest experience for your club members. So that's just something to think about. Number 6, multiple race options. Are there options for kids, particularly races of shorter length for kids? And are they affordable? This enables them to become involved. Check to see if there are any challenges offered as well. Again, if there aren't, that certainly wouldn't be a reason not to do a race, but it would be a plus for some runners who've done many races and are looking for more challenges. I know here in Tampa, locally, the challenges sell out for the Gasparilla race because they're that popular. Experienced runners often are attracted to a race because of that. And that's one reason why races like the St. Pete Beach Classic offer those options. Another thing is that you may have family members who maybe you run marathons and halves, and maybe a lot of the people in the club too, but newer runners or sometimes family members might like the option of doing a 5K. You don't have to train too long or too hard to be able to finish a 5K. So that provides opportunities for more people that want to travel with you, maybe a spouse or the children, to get involved and to enjoy the event and not actually participate in the event. So consider that. Number seven, does the race have an excellent reputation for being well run, meaning organized and popular with the local runners? Does it have a reputation, an established reputation for for getting the timing right and accurate and for publishing it in a timely manner, making it easy for you to find out who placed and who didn't and what the times are? Number eight, what's the typical weather like in that location on race day? Obviously, that could be huge. Number nine, is it easy to enter? Early on, we only did marathons as destination races. And even when we did Marine Corps Marathon, Chicago Marathon, and San Francisco, everyone had at least 6 months to register before the race was full. But all that has changed in the last couple of years. Now, many of the big, popular races sell out within a day, and in some cases, within an hour. So be sure to pick a race that doesn't fill up too quickly, because it's really a bummer if you pick a destination race a year in advance, and then people that join the club 6 months down the road don't have the opportunity to go to the next destination race because it's already full. Number 10, does the race offer nice finishers medals? That's pretty simple and basic, but it really matters to people. There are some races that people want to do just because of the medals. So really pay attention to that. Number 11, is the race viewer friendly? Some people will want to bring family members, but those people will find it difficult to get out on the race course to see you. It may not be a great experience. It may not be a great experience for them. An example is the Napa to Sonoma race. That's a half marathon. It was virtually impossible for family members to get out on the course to see their loved ones. On the other hand, in a big city like New York or Washington, D.C. or San Francisco, they can get around town on some kind of a metro or some kind of mass transit. And if they plan carefully, they will be able to find you at several different places along the course. And this kind of, I didn't mention this separately, but this could also relate to tracking. In many of the races, you can actually set up, I know most of you know this, to track the racers. So family and friends, either at home or there at the race, can track the other runners. I actually set up tracking for the other runners, even in races that I do, so that when I finish the race, I can see where the people are that haven't finished yet and be sure that I'm at the finish line to see them. So that can really help in conjunction with mass transit for people who travel with you to the race and want to see you in the race. Number 12, does the race have a reputation for having good race shirts? It's a pet peeve of mine when I do a race and at Pack a Pickup, they are already out of shirts my size because they let people register at the last minute and they let them have shirts sometimes, meaning you don't get a shirt in your size. Last year at one race I traveled to, I arrived at Pack a Pickup at 3 p.m. after traveling all day to get there, only to find out that they were already out of all the women's shirts, despite the fact that I registered 7 months before the race. That's just not right. Since people register online, the race directors should always know how many shirts of each size are needed. People who register at the last minute should not be guaranteed a shirt, not over the people who registered long before. It used to be that the registration pages for races always said if you register after a certain point, after a certain time, you are not guaranteed a shirt. But more and more often, I do races where when I get there, they say they have no shirts in my size, despite the fact that I'm a pretty standard size and normally I register way ahead of time. The shirts for pre-registered runners should be set aside. I don't mind telling you that I was steamed that day. I had to take a men's shirt. Excuse me. Number 13, check the altitude. If a race starts at altitude, that may be one thing, one race that you want to eliminate. But if you do keep it, make sure everyone knows that you'll be at altitude because this may affect their training. Of course, there are lots of great races that start at higher altitudes, and so it's probably not a reason to discount it, but it certainly is something that you want to know. Another thing is that races sometimes are like this one we just did. I'll talk about it more next week. The whole race is downhill. Well, that's one reason why people were attracted to it, because it usually turns out really fast times. I'm just saying this is something you should take into account. Think about it. Look at that. Number 14, what kind of course is it? Is it an out and back course? An out and back course is logically better for a longer race because you don't need to get bussed back from the finish line to the starting area or wherever you left your car. Some people really are fine with out and back courses. Some people prefer circular courses. Some people don't like courses where there are some courses where you might do a lap more than one time. Or maybe there's a 13.1, a half marathon, and you do that lap twice. Maybe I'm kind of weird, but I like races where you go around a circuit more than one time. But some people absolutely do not. So just look at the course and see what it's like, what are the unique features of it, and take that into consideration. Number 15, crowd support. Everybody I know loves to have crowds cheering along the race course, but some races have little to none. Yet at other races, you're guaranteed to have people lining the route cheering for you. Again, this is probably not a reason to discount a race if there are other great things about the race. Depending on the particular course, sometimes it's just not logical or it's not possible to have a lot of people. Like when you have a race course that's in the mountains, it's too hard for people to get around and you need to have the road closed to run on it. So it may be hard for people to get to it to see you. But again, it's something you want to think about. Think about how many people will be on the course yelling, cheering. Number 16, race size. While we've done some of the biggest races in the country, it's important to consider whether your group, consider what your group wants and what will work best for them. There are advantages of large races for sure, but there are also advantages to small races. With a large group, you'll likely have more people cheering you on, but there will also be crowds at nearby restaurants. The hotels may book up way ahead of time, and a variety of logistics will be more intense. On the other hand, a race that's too small doesn't have the same thrill. As for me, I never want to do a race that only has a few hundred people because I might have to spend a chunk of time on the race course with no other runners near me. That always feels more like a training run. So just think about it. You can always find out the size of a race ahead of time before you make that decision. Number 17, is it a good race for beginner runners? If you have many new runners, first timers at various distances, you'll find that some races are more geared towards them. And that's something then that you want to take into consideration. 18, check the cutoff time for any marathon and half to make sure it will accommodate most of your runners. Some races have a reputation for being popular among first timers, and this will be appropriate for a club that has many new runners. Some races, many marathons and halves, specify a time when the race course will be closed and those people out on the course at that time will be swept. It's important to check this out, to discuss this with the people making the decision, and then, as with all of these other things, explain that, present it to the people in your club that are thinking about whether or not they want to sign up, because this will be a factor. Number 19. Check the results of the prior year's races to see what kind of times people tend to turn in. This will provide helpful insight as to, for example, how fast the race course is, and also what kinds of people, what demographics are common in the people that register for this race. Also, some people who tend sometimes to place in a race can look at prior year's results and see if they'll have a shot at placing in that race. And I'll mention this. Sometimes this is one advantage to doing a smaller race because in a really big race, you may not have any possibility of anybody in the club placing, But if you do a smaller race, many people may then have the possibility of placing in the top three or the top five or whatever. So that's something to take into account. Number 20, read the reviews. There are places online where you can read articles about many races. Not all, but many. There's no better indicator than word of mouth from someone who's done it. And more on that, I think it's a great idea to reach out to people who you may know around the country before you do a race. Before we did the race that we did last weekend, the Big Cottonwood race, I reached out to my friend Galen Garrison in Utah, who has done that race several times and had some very important information that he was able to give to me. And I gave a lot of credibility to that because he's a friend and I know he knows our club and knew what would be good for us. And it turned out to be a great choice. 21, check on their refund, deferment, and transfer policies. Anymore, some races are super about this, making it easy to get a refund, to defer to another year, or to transfer your bib. With destination races, you pretty much have to start making plans a year ahead of time. But this means situations change, and there are always people who, in the end, find that they can't do the race for whatever reason. It's always nice when they can get a refund. That said, I definitely wouldn't say to avoid races that don't allow refunds, deferments, and transfers, because that would be most of the races. I hope this is changing. More and more races are allowing deferments, refunds, and transfers, but you have to check. I just wanted to throw that out as something to check when you're researching races, because it would give that race an extra mark in the plus column, I would think. That's about it, but that's a lot. I would say look at this list and decide, along with the other leaders of your club, which of these items are make or break before you start evaluating races as possible destination possibilities. Now, just a reminder that registration is now open for our Tampa Running Retreats, and our first race retreat is a running weekend at the St. Pete Beach Classic. You'll do one or more of those races, and the whole weekend will be planned. You'll make many new running friends, we'll have most of our meals together, and you'll have the option of a private coaching session with me that will, of course, be included. If you're wondering, the St. Pete Beach Classic shines when evaluated as a destination race based on these standards. And that's why we picked it for the first of our race retreat weekends. The second race retreat weekend will be in February and will be in Tampa, where we'll do the Gasparilla race. Registration for that one will be up soon. Now, registration for those races is already open, but I mean registration for that retreat. Again, when you look at it compared to these destination race criteria, again, I think it looks, you'll find that it's very attractive. But you can already reserve your spot for the St. Pete Beach Classic race retreat. Just go to TampaRunningRetreats.com. Now, here's today's quote. Once a year, go someplace you've never been before. That's from the Dalai Lama. And here's a couple of others because I'm kind of enjoying sharing more quotes. If you think adventure is dangerous, try routine. It is lethal. That's from Paulo Coelho. Better to see something once than to hear about it 1,000 times. That's an Asian proverb. The world is a book, and those who do not travel read only one page. Once you have traveled, the voyage never ends. The mind can never break off the journey. That's from Pat Conroy. We travel not to escape life, but for life not to escape us. Travel is the only thing you buy that makes you richer. If at some point you don't ask yourself, what have I gotten myself into, then you're not doing it right. That's from Roland Gao. I ask myself that every time I'm halfway through a marathon. I think most runners do. And 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the ones you did do. That's from Mark Twain. I'll be back soon.